a famous Peruvian a lawyer who was last night saying it's just ludicrous to send her back to prison until you finish that up, because then they can appeal again. So they haven't really decided on any issues other than this technicality. So I know it's probably complicated for you, for your listeners, but there was a technicality in the original decision to give her parole, and Lori has to be imprisoned until that is resolved, which will probably take a couple of months, at which point we assume that that's going to be taken care of. The judge will once again say she's granted parole. She should then be out on parole again. But then again, this is Peru, so you never know. But that's what our assumption is. But then it may be appealed again. So this is something that only happens to Lori Berenson. We've been at this for 15 years. Hundreds of Peruvians who have been involved in political terrorism cases have...
Rhoda? We seem to have lost Rhoda Berenson, mother of Lori Berenson. Again, she has been re-imprisoned along with her son, Salvador. Rhoda Berenson speaking to us from Lima. Rhoda, did we reestablish a connection?
Yes, I'm here. Where did you lose me?
Just in the last second.
Juan? Rhoda, I'd like to ask you, you were mentioning the This is Peru. As you were talking, we were showing some of the video to those of our audience that have video access or TV access, to showing the frenzy of the press around this case. Could you talk about the climate in Peru ever since Lori was released?
Well, the climate has always been like that for Lori, if anything happens and her name is mentioned. But yeah, the press in Peru...
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will go to a break, see if we can get her back on. Rhoda Berenson is who we've been talking to, mother of Lori Berenson. Lori and her son have been re-imprisoned to serve out the full 20-year sentence after she's already served 15, though her mother says this may be a technicality and she could be out sooner. This is Democracy Now! We'll be back in a minute.
Gone some places, no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over the ridge. Hot soup on a campfire under the bridge. Shelter line stretching around the corner. Welcome to the new world order. Family sleeping in the cars in the southwest. No home, no job, no peace, no. Well, the highway's alive at night, but nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes. I'm sitting down here in the campfire line, searching for the ghost of Tom Jones.
Ghost of Tom Joad by Bruce Springsteen. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We're trying to have an uninterrupted conversation with Rhoda Berenson, the mother of Lori Berenson. Lori's just been re-imprisoned in Peru. Juan?
Well, yes, before we were cut off, Rhoda, I was asking you about the media reaction to Lori's release a couple of months ago.
Well, the reaction was... horrendous. I mean, there's nothing Lori can do that they don't turn against her. And they're physically, when any time either Lori, I, or last night was Lori and her baby were almost crushed. I mean, the baby was screaming because the police come swarming right in on you. And, of course, when that happened, the immediate reaction was, well, she shouldn't have had a baby with her. You know, this is like, you know, blame the victim kind of.
And that's, of course, Democracy Now!, which you can get online at www.democracynow.org. And if you're listening to this show, because we don't have a transmitter location at the moment, we do have a transmitter. You are probably online as it is, so I would say switch over to democracynow.org to hear the rest of the interview with Lori Berenson's mom, I believe it is. another horrendous case down south. I'm going to be now playing some of the tapes from Peace Camp 2010. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, the August 19th, 2010 edition. I'm Robert Norris, and we're streaming on Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. You're welcome to call in if you're listening to the show on the 19th of August, 2010, because we're live at that point, although unfortunately not yet live on the air. You can call in at 427-3772. Expect to have on the air around 7 o'clock a Roger Minch, medical marijuana activist and distributor who has three times been prosecuted by either district attorneys here in Santa Cruz County or currently over in Santa Clara County. He's also a founding member of the Americans for Safe Access chapter here in Santa Cruz, which is just forming and beginning to become active, and I believe has a benefit coming up, which perhaps he'll be talking about, as well as Proposition 19, the measure to legalize somewhat small amounts of marijuana possessed by adults, which has some benefits and some drawbacks, and we'll be talking about that as well, I suspect, although perhaps not at the length which the subject needs to be discussed. Let me turn, though, first to Peace Camp 2010. Reporting today, I was kind of on call. I wasn't down there. Night before, I was there the whole night in my vehicle, and essentially the police set up these huge Klieg lights, which you can read about at the Peace Camp 2010 website. I posted a story there this morning. It also should be on indiebay.org if it's finally been put up there. I put it up this morning, but as of mid-afternoon, it was still sort of at the bottom of the tray. And also, I announced to people the meeting of the Homeless Service Center's board of directors, which I just came from, and I'll be talking about that too, where I'm Ed Fry and Linda LeMaster, three homeless activists who regular listeners of this show are familiar with, perhaps, spoke to the Homeless Service Center board, urging them to make available information to the police department each night as to whether there was a shelter bed available, since if there isn't, the court regularly dismisses citations for individuals, and the police might consider stopping the harassment for that one night, since unless they can find shelter somewhere else, there is no question that the tickets will be thrown out by the courts if the person does the legwork back and forth to court to get a statement that shouldn't be necessary in the first place. So I'm going to be playing, if not today, then on Sunday morning when I do a longer version of this show, some of the tape from that Homeless Services Center board meeting. Right now I'm just going to begin sort of chronologically, in a moment after giving you a little more update, some tape from the last week, so that the voices other than my own, although my voice does appear a lot in this, can be heard. As I said before, the police are cracking down heavily. They set up Klieg lights, very bright lights on a 20-foot high, 14-foot high, not sure how high, but a relatively high pole, the kind you see downtown along Pacific Avenue on Halloween. That literally, it's painful to look at. They're very bright. And these are apparently done with the intention of harassing homeless people and keeping them awake all night, making protests difficult. Although the police are claiming that this is being done to protect them from, violent homeless people and child molesters. This phrase has gotten a big play in the Sentinel for the last 2 days because an unregistered sex offender who was at the Peace Camp 2010 was discovered when he gave a false name. Not because he was guilty of any crime other than not registering, but because of that fact alone, he has become a great object célèbre, the villain of the piece for the Santa Cruz Sentinel, an opportunity for Police Chief Kevin Vogel to mouth off dire warnings about the police camp and the need for greater security. They've posted a security guard there, as well as having these Klieg lights. And today, they moved in and actually confiscated political tables, political signs, people's possessions, took away one of the organizers, and continue to give out tickets for sleeping and covering up with bedding, even though there's no shelter available on these nights throughout the summer for people who are seeking shelter, and specifically for the people down at the homeless Peace Camp 2010 protest and in front of City Hall. So things are getting worse. I was able to write a story about the Klieg Lights and then also about the upcoming Homeless Service Center board meeting, which just happened, and which, as I said, I went to, but not about the number of arrests that have happened. The number of police, 4 to 6 police at a time, coming by, demanding ID, interrogating, waking up, threatening, demanding people leave, even though they're giving them no legal place to go. It's not at all unusual for single homeless people to get this kind of treatment when they're in the boonies or by the levee or alone, but for political protesters to get this on camera in the middle of Klieg Lights lit up like day is an interesting phenomenon. I believe some photos have been taken of that. That, again, will appear on Peace Camp 2010. I'm now going to play some tape from the streets, and again, I want to remind you that this would be Freak Radio. It is freakradio.org streaming. It would be Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcasting if we had a transmission. One of these days I'll get that right. Site. And the site we need is a place where we can put up our antenna. West side, north side, east side, almost all around the town, not downtown because it's too low downtown. We need a roof or a tree. We can put the antenna on. Dry locked, secure space for the transmitter we can visit for maintenance and repair. Access to 15-amp outlet electricity, access to the internet. We'll give you $50 a month, uninterruptible power supply, information what to do when the FCC comes, and most important, Free Radio Santa Cruz back on the air is what you'll get. And I think that's the most important gift at all. And I want to remind people that there's only a certain amount of time that our broadcasters will continue to come into the studio if we don't have a location. So if you want to keep hearing this station, please help us find a location for the antenna and the transmitter. And the phone number to call is 427-4523. That's an off-air message phone, 427-4523. You can go onto the website when you're on now, freakradio.org, and you'll find out how to contact us, freakradio.org, of course. And you can also call into this show, but, of course, there's not much I can do that really should be done and will be done by techies who can take your message off the air at 427-4523. But if you have comments on what I'm saying or your own breaking news reports, please do call in. 427-3772 is this on-air number. So let's hear some interviews from the street and from Peace Camp 2010, now at City Hall.
My car.
We're down here on Pacific Avenue. It's Sunday evening, and it's about 9 o'clock. New Leaf is closing, but in front of New Leaf, we have some, should we say, sobering words from Trey. Hey, Trey.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the last few days ago, I saw some ranger and some people with a fire truck sawing down branches off trees at Lighthouse Fields after they already mowed the whole field and everything. And my estimation is, because I think I found, I saw one and a needle in the bushes before, and, you know, and they found somebody, you know, having sex or camping or smoking or selling marijuana or other drugs or drinking alcohol in the bushes. So
serious
somehow
shit,
they've gotten some, whether they use their own money or the town's money or federal money, obviously federal money involved, to actually, you know, butcher some of these ancient trees at Lighthouse Fields. They're sawing so many branches off, they look like stubs, some of them, basically. Like, they're sawing off way more than they, just so that they can make sure they can see clear what everything's going on there, you know. It's pretty crazy. Sad, really.
Thank you, Trey. And you've already informed former Mayor Fitzmaurice of this?
Yeah, I told him, and I told all the people at the Gorilla Drive-In the other day, and I told the guy that runs this newspaper here, because I don't think it's right to... I'm talking
times.
I'm talking like over six inch in diameter of branches off trees. Like, so,
thank you, Trey.
I'm hoping that telling people will do something good. Maybe somebody will want to help them to stop it, you know, like get them to stop.
It could be too late, but it's worth knowing about.
Well, they've only destroyed about half of them or a fourth of them so far. So,
well, perhaps your warning will have some good.
Yeah, okay, take.
Oh, I'm down here at Peace Camp 2010 at about 9:30. Is that where we're at? actually 9:15. I'm sitting in the truck of Ed Fry with his FordsIntoPlowshares.org new website, perhaps.
No, that's an old door. He busted his door, so he had to put his old door on.
Oh, this is an old door, perhaps an old website. I see. Bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you got a new computer. You're doing some research on it, and you've also been posting some videos of what the celebrations have been happening down here on Sunday at the Peace Camp.
We had a little dance party this evening, and then this morning Coral Bruin came by and did some Native American chant that was really cool. So we put that up this morning. We're able to get them up a lot quicker now. So
that sounds good. And I take it you, last night we heard you report on free radio that you got, the people here got 5 tickets and 1 arrest, and is that likely to be repeated tonight, do you think?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, I'm hoping the kids got a plan to avoid the tickets, I guess we're going to try to get everybody awake so they don't get tickets. But
well, these citations, though, because there's no place to sleep, are essentially waste paper, are they not? Once people trek over to the Homeless Service Center, request a letter, don't get it, go back to court, but testify that they attempted to get a letter, there's been testimony in court under penalty of perjury that there's no place open, no room at the inn unless you get on a waiting list for 4 to 6 weeks. So the tickets don't really mean much here, particularly they're not even misdemeanor tickets, they're infraction tickets, right?
Right. What we hope to do is accomplish with Todd, the work he's doing is to keep everybody informed of that and make sure that they actually take care of these, you know what I mean, call in and do whatever they're supposed to do. So we're making a list of all the people. But, you know, I mean, we'll just see. I don't know what their plan is. You know, they say 2 in 48 hours is a misdemeanor. I don't know what that means. I don't know what their intent is.
Camping tickets in 24 hours is a misdemeanor, but any number of sleeping tickets in any number of time is not a misdemeanor unless you don't attend to them. That happens months down the road.
Right, right. Well, we plan on attending to them, so we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm not sure, given all of that you just described, what the point of all this is. It's quite an expensive exercise if all we're going to do is, in the end, get away with this. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. We take it one night at a time here at Peace Camp 2010. You know, we make the best plan we can each day as we go through the day, and each night as we go through the night, it's almost not even a day-by-day thing. Sometimes it's an hour-by-hour thing down here. So, I mean, we're fighting for our civil rights. We're in the trenches of free speech. So we'll just see what happens, I guess.
Cool. So, looks like we have an officer who's got a problem with Crow here. Not quite sure what the problem is, but the officer is kind of awakened him from his rest on the wall with a blanket, and Crow's going to his vehicle to pick up presumably ID or something. We'll see what's going on.
Now we're talking about an incident that happened on Sunday evening, the 15th of August. That's four nights ago.
I don't know.
Later, I just don't want you to get in trouble, so I'm just letting you know that soon.
Apparently he's just issuing a friendly advisory, but is he demanding your ID, Crow?
Yes. I'm not demanding it, sir.
Oh, well, don't give it to him. He's not demanding it.
Well,
put it back.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Why should you be interested in giving him an ID if there's not a crime being suspected here? So this would only in a police state would individuals request ID without a crime
all
being
right. Michael,
under
Michael,
suspicion.
Yes. All right. Well, Michael, thank you. I appreciate your cooperation.
No problem.
So I'm sure there'll be officers later in the evening, and so you know we're enforcing things pretty strictly.
Yeah, we're doing what we need to do.
I understand. So I just
I know.
So thank you very much. Appreciate your cooperation.
Okay. Officer, what's your full name? Officer, what is your full name?
Mr. Kendall.
And what's your badge number?
151.
Current supervising sergeant is?
On duty?
Yes.
Would be Sergeant Connor.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to follow the officer around. He's seeking ID from people that they don't have to give because he's not issuing citations, yet he's giving the impression that that's a requirement. People, when they see a badge and a gun and a man in uniform, tend to be cooperative, even though it's not always in the best interest of them or the society they live in for that to happen, particularly when an officer is harassing individuals who have no legal place to sleep. So I'm following the officer about the City Hall grounds. Officer, how you doing?
Good.
Nothing personal.
Well, I try to be nice to you, but I don't appreciate it.
Well, I don't appreciate what you're doing to these people, even if it's under official aegis. They have no legal place to go, and you're harassing them, making them feel like criminals. I know you're doing so under orders, but that doesn't alter what you're doing. No, and it is nothing personal for me. We'll simply be recording the names and activities of officers who are doing this, and in a federal lawsuit, if it comes, the officers involved and the officials who are giving them the orders will be held responsible, because you're depriving people of their civil rights when you are, in fact, demanding they write a citation, come to court, putting them on a list, surveilling them for doing something that they have a necessity to do.
Mr. Norris, if you'd like to have a conversation, I'll speak with you, but not while you're recording. So,
well,
otherwise, you can just continue with your...
Yeah, but I do record. Obviously.
Pardon me, sir?
Wise man.
Who, me?
Yes.
I'd rather, I mean, I don't mind, I talk to my friends, but I don't have them record me, so if you'd like
to... This isn't a friendly conversation. You're here in an official capacity.
Sir,
come on.
I said I'll talk to you. I'll have a conversation with you, but I'm not going to talk to you while you're recording.
Oh, I understand, okay. but I won't be stopping recording, because...
That's fine.
And it's not a personal matter, as I tell you. You're speaking, you're here as an official. You're not here as a private citizen. If you want to talk to me as a private citizen, come back in civilian gear, and we'll have a private conversation.
Terry, let me... Doing anything officially, that's got to go through legal and stuff. He's not going to...
No, he's here with a badge and a uniform. But, I mean, Gary was happy to talk to you unofficially, and I'm sure he will, if you'd like.
You don't go speaking for me, Robert.
Maybe not.
Especially on tape.
Maybe not.
Please, Robert, play that part.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Gary, don't get into it with me now in front of an officer. It's not a good idea, I don't think. So, anyway, it's a pleasant evening, and it's a little early in the evening to be coming around and... Looks like a lot of people, though, are enjoying themselves. The officer is leaving without the friendly conversation, even though I offered him an opportunity to do it off tape. It looks like birthday cake here at
the
Peace Camp 2010 table.
Mr. King.
Whose birthday is it, anyway?
Why he always going to be Mr. King?
Whose birthday is it?
I'm a family, too.
I'm Mr. King.
I don't know whose birthday is it.
Pussy as I do.
All right, yeah.
Well, it's not clear, but it is birthday cake.
What would you mean? Go for it.
White birthday cake. So it's getting a little bit later, not much later. I think we're talking 9:40, and I'm talking with...
Sam Baglite.
And Sam, is this one of your first nights here?
Here at the,
Peace Camp 2010, but you say you're a long-term resident of Santa Cruz.
I came here when I was two. I'm 33, so I've been here 31 years.
And are you here because you have no legal place to go, or are you a person who's sympathetic and just is in solidarity, or what's your situation?
I'm sympathetic both. It's both. I definitely don't, want any legal problems, so I don't know that I'm going to stay the whole night, because I'm in a unique position, but, I definitely don't want any legal problem, like you were mentioning. The whole process gets started, and it's a...
Well, usually here, they'll give you a citation, an infraction citation, if they find you sleeping, which means that within 60 days you have to go to court to get a court date, and then at that court date, if you bring in a letter from the Homeless Services Center that says we had no room at the shelter, which they don't, then they will dismiss the ticket. That's Commissioner Kim Baskett's. And it should be added to that you don't actually have to wait until that you get a court date. Once you've got a ticket, you can actually take the ticket to the Homeless Services Center and ask them specifically for a statement that the shelter was full on that night. And now, however, I've heard there may be a complication, because it was at the Homeless Service Center board meeting, as I mentioned earlier this evening or this afternoon, and they said that they will also... They seem to be encouraging people to put their names on the waiting list to get into shelter, as rather than saying that there was
that seems to also be a requirement or an additional encouragement to the judge that if they put their name on a waiting list for shelter, that somehow that makes them less guilty, and that makes means that there was more shelter that night, or it means that somehow they're more entitled to be acquitted of the charge of sleeping outside, even though there's no legal place to go, than a person who didn't put her or his name on a waiting list, which it was acknowledged for women was, I think it was 3 to 5 weeks, and for men was 4 to 6 weeks, according to Monica Martinez from her own lips. And I actually have that on tape, which she told me this evening about an hour ago at the Homeless Services Center Board. So if you get a ticket out there, or if you have a ticket, either for municipal code violation of the sleeping blanket or camping ordinances, or if you have a ticket for lodging, go to the Homeless Services Center and request a specific form letter that says, on the night when you got the ticket, there was no shelter available. Actually, it doesn't matter whether you're on the waiting list or not. So then you have to wait another 30 to 60 days until your ticket appears on the computer in the court, if it's one of those municipal code infractions like for sleeping blankets or camping. If it's, on the other hand, a penal code violation for lodging, which is a misdemeanor which entitles you to a jury trial, unlike the other tickets, which only get seen by a judge, then you get a court date immediately on receipt of the ticket. And there are some of those court dates coming up as early as the first few days in September, and we will see then whether there's actually going to be any further legal process. Because if there is, that requires the court to appoint a public defender. If the individual is indigent, gets paid for at public taxpayer expense. That also requires a jury trial, and it requires they go through all the, in theory, you have to go through all these things anyway, except for the jury trial and the public defender. You can get a pretrial hearing, for example, if you demand one in infraction cases. However, this a misdemeanor is a serious crime in the sense that you could be sent to jail for up to a year, fined up to $1,000, and that means that you get a full-blown defense if you want one. Now, it's unfortunately, or maybe in some cases fortunately, but I tend to view it as unfortunately, true that most cases never go to jury trial. People plead out, and they plead because they don't want to be subjected to the endless court process, as, for example, Wes Modes, a local activist, found he was being subjected to for playing his drum next to a police officer while the police were essentially creating a riot, perhaps unintentionally, but by trying to enforce petty ordinances to drive away the drum circle near the farmer's market 2 years ago. But it can be a lengthy process. So in most cases, I think it's 95% of the cases now, I don't have the actual stats, but it's an increasing number, cases are not taken to jury trial, and people plead, particularly because they are overcharged initially. Police will charge you with 2, 3, 4 counts. They'll say, oh, we'll drop 3 counts, and all you have to do is plead guilty to 1 count that you didn't do. And this, unfortunately, is frequently done by people who just want to skip the whole thing. So, anyway, more from the Sunday evening, August 15th, Peace Camp 2010 audio log.
Usual policy, and she's the one who gets all these tickets unless you disqualify her. Not that she's worth a damn in other respects in terms of how she treats poor people in her court.
Cowardly. Yeah, I think it's really cowardly how they treat people that have no means, and then they say, oh, okay, well, all you have to do to alleviate this is this task or thing that requires means. You know, you need a computer, or how about the fact of an ID being required when a state ID is $10. Well, I think everyone should, get that covered. Or how can you require someone to have a $10 bill? That's ridiculous. How can that? That's definitely unconstitutional.
Right. The same thing, of course, is true with medical marijuana use, where it's even more expensive to get some kind of doctor's recommendation than a state or local ID medical marijuana card. So, go ahead.
Well, I just have an opinion that I think that the corporatization of America is crept into Santa Cruz, and that's fucking, sorry, that is scary, okay? When the corporatization of America is creeping into Santa Cruz, California, I'd be really worried. And that's what's happening. The private security force has arrived in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah, they've been here for a while, actually. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. The presence of so many people here kind of means that First Alarm Security and the other security forces that patrol this area, that are not the police usually, but that run people off, are a little more reluctant to do so. They see they can't run you folks off, or they can't run off people at the heart, at the core, at the center of this protest. So they kind of have to back away. And so in a way you're creating, even though it's not a safe zone in the same way that, let's say, the county building was a safe zone for a month when the deputies didn't give anybody citations, it's a safe zone in the sense that people can be ticketed for sleeping, but the sleeping tickets will almost surely be dismissed under the necessity defense if people bother to fight them.
Yeah, I mean, people have. I think we have to fight, but at what cost? I don't know. It's just we need to get more people. I'd like to see more attorneys come out here. I'd like to see some more pro bono work. I'd like to see people getting represented that normally wouldn't get represented. You know.
Me too.
On the bigger cases, not just sleeping out here. I'm talking about people that have mental illnesses and addictions that are looking at prison sentences and all the. And then, you know, they somehow, the county squeezes blood from that turnip, and instead of that person paying their child support, right, the county gets the frickin' money, you know? And then those people relapse and they're back out. And so it's like, during this chunk of time, the only people that got any money from these people were the people that forced them into rehab and forced money out of them, just didn't even really care, you know, just got the money, you know, and didn't really care about their relapse or how they are. I'm done.
No problem. We've been talking with
Sam Aguite.
Thanks, Sam. And we'll find out whether you chose to stay the night or take off. In any case, thank you for coming as far as you've come.
Right on, man. Thank you.
So I'm talking to a man who has just informed me, he's a peace camp guy here, that his girlfriend Sarah, who's pregnant, even though they checked for warrants at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, she was taken into custody for a... camping ward in Paso Robles, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And how long ago did this criminal sleeping happen?
It happened early this morning at 5 o'clock.
And in the morning.
In the morning.
And but when did the actual incident happen with the camping?
The camping ticket happened about a month ago in Paso Robles. They're doing the same thing there that they're doing to us here.
How long were you guys there?
We were there for 6 months.
And how many tickets did you both get there?
Accumulated 9.
And did it all begin to happen at one particular point, or was it scattered throughout the 6 month period?
It all happened at one point in time.
And what? How many other people would you say were homeless in Paso Robles?
I'd say about 60.
And were they also getting ticketed?
Yes. We all got ran out of the riverbed where it was known that we can stay. They cut it down to where we couldn't panhandle, fly signs, anything. It was illegal to do.
And did people leave town, or did people hide more deeply, or did they go to jail? What was the consequence of
that? The people that didn't know where to go ended up going to jail. And me and my girlfriend decided that we were just going to pack up and leave and say screw the court date, because we would just keep on going to court. We went to court over 6 times. And as both our tickets for camping.
What was the outcome of those tickets then when you did go to court in Paso Robles?
She was told that she couldn't sleep in the, well, how would they put it? They put 50 yards away from the Niblick or the Paso Riverbed, which goes down directly through the middle of Paso.
But another place she could sleep?
Another places you could sleep, but if they knew of the spots, they rousted us there.
So, for those listening, this man's name is, the name he gave me was Jason, and he's known also as Shadow, but he is also the guy that they're making the big brouhaha about as the child molester, whose name is Mark Greer. And the point here is, and I'm finding this interesting as I listen to this, the brouhaha is not that he's wanted for a sex offense, but rather for not registering since June as a sex offender. This is the constant drumbeat, or at least the drumbeat in two different Sentinel stories. But notice that one of the one of the concerns, at least he doesn't mention he was a sex offender, but he mentions he left the area after going to court 6 times on camping citations. He got tired of doing that, and so they left. In essence, they were driven out of the area by camping citations, and that may be one of the reasons he did not register as a sex offender in the Santa Cruz area, because he realized there would be warrants out for his girlfriend, who was pregnant, and who finally did get a warrant, and she was taken away 2 hours before, for if his account is accurate, for the crime of camping or sleeping, or if you will, being homeless at night and being a human being who has to sleep. So all the sex offender stuff is camouflage. It's smokescreen. It's essentially shit being thrown on decent people. I have a guest in the studio who wants to make a comment. A guest from the Tangerine Dream Team. Hi there, guest.
Hi, Robert. I was at the camp today, and someone told me that his sex offense was he was taking a leak on the railroad tracks and a mother and her daughter walked around the corner. So it wasn't really molesting, if we're to believe what I heard.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, I wonder if that person, unless that person was with Jason or Mark Greer, whatever his name is, back in San Luis Obispo, which is where the offense likely occurred.
It's just hearsay.
It sounds like they were trying to be, you know, they didn't really know what they were talking about. But it does.
That's just like the Sentinel, really.
Right. Well, I tried to find on a sex offender's website what Greer's crime was. The Sentinel said child molesting, but it didn't go into any more details than that. And, you know, child molesting is a shocking kind of concern that you bring up a crime for someone to do. But when a person has served their sentence, then his new crime isn't child molesting. His crime is failing to register. He's failing to register because he's running from a camping warrant. And this has particular, you know, implications for, well, I don't know if you've been reading the newspapers carefully, you'll find that there's some unusual homeless encampments which are, like in Sacramento, consist almost entirely of sex offenders. Or, you know, registered sex offenders, not unregistered, because they cannot get lodging downtown because of the very restrictive state laws regarding how far they have to be from this and that and everything else. Even though they've served their time, they are considered to be now innocent of at least future crimes until they commit them. So sex offenders have a particularly hard, people who are registered as sex offenders for whatever thing, you could be registered as a sex offender for having sex with a consenting minor, for example. That's a sex offense, too. Or, you know, for taking a piss in a way that the cop thinks is lewd, that's a sex offense. If you take a piss in a non-lewd way, that's just public exposure or, I don't know, urinating in public. Anyway, I'm going to try to see if we can play this.
And also,
tape.
I should mention, since Rotkin doesn't support any bathrooms after midnight, that's a potential crime that any homeless person could commit if they have to take a leak after midnight.
That's correct. Although, as I said, if you don't do it lewdly, you might be okay. Well, let's see if we hear some
more. And there is a porta potty in Santa Cruz right now at the peace camp every night.
Yes, that's at Santa Cruz City Hall, 809 Center Street, across from the main library. But be prepared for, shall we say, police protection or overprotection, as well as a very well-lit area.
Yes, I would say bring your sunglasses.
That's actually, some were wearing sunglasses last night, and in fact, Free, forgive me for using your name.
Free of Freedom?
Free, indeed. Mr. F, as I'll call you. You were bringing up earlier that there was an actual cardboard series of a castle or a series of shields that was set up in order to shield the eyes of homeless people from this incredibly strong light that the city is paying $100 a night. I think it's $100 a night to or maybe it's $100 a week. I don't know, but it's a significant amount of money.
It's $100 a night. That's what the Sentinel said.
It's Sentinel, well, yeah, who knows? Assuming they're correct, $100 a night. In what looks like one of these sort of drive them away things, like they where they use classical music to drive people, youth away from the 7-Elevens, and opera and KSCO to drive people away from the metro station who are hanging out there.
That's an unreasonably disturbing noise, I would think.
I know when I went over there to complain that they were giving homophobic religious speeches on those metro speakers, I was first threatened with arrest, and though they finally turned that down, I later eventually was arrested for refusing to leave the property, even though it's supposed to be public property. But that is a whole different story. Let's hear more from Jason talking about his attempt to find sanctuary in Santa Cruz, not to engage in predatory sexual behavior, but just to be able to sleep legally with his girlfriend and to join Camp Peace Camp 2010, which he did. I having some problems with this particular tape. So hang tough here. I'm going to take a breather and play one of my old favorites, which
the Mamas and Papas.
Now this is a little more recent than the Mamas and the Papas. This is called "Ready for Christmas" by Carol Denny, and it's a little out of season. But actually, this is not going to play "Ready for Christmas." I'm going to play. I think I'll play in North County Jail. That seems to be might be more appropriate. Nothing seems to be working today, however. Let me try another one of these thingies here. I can actually...
One to the left.
Having some problems. When troubles come, they come in battalions. Oh, boy. Let's not give up hope here, folks, all you stream listeners. I'm not to give up hope.
I'd like to congratulate Robert on having twice the listeners to the average.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I'm glad, if you're listening, listeners, this is Ready for Christmas, assuming it plays. Let's see if we can get this sucker to play. That was Carol Denny, "Ready for Christmas." Still trying to open the Well, maybe I will be able to open. Ah, yes, I'm able to retrieve one of my discs. Oh, nice. You're tuned to what was Free Radio, what is sort of Free Radio on the stream, and it's at freakradio.org, you should know, because it's your computer you're listening to at the moment. I'm Robert Norris, and in the studio with me is a guest from the Tangerine Dream Team, who has also been a pretty frequent observer of Peace Camp 2010 over the last couple months, and probably has developed some strong perspectives on it, which you can listen to on Tuesday night. I think your shows are archived, are they not, Mr. F? At,
My show's Free the Land. Coral's on it often, too. It's 8 to 10. Coral does a music show from 7 to 8.
On Tuesday evening.
Tuesday evening.
Now, is there a place where they're archived?
Yes, you just go to freakradio.org. You're already there. There's an archive button at the top. Robert's shows are there. Our shows are there. Skidmark Bob. I just put up Linnea's show. She's got quite a few interviews.
Free the Land is the name of the show?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just click on the link.
And I know that you've done a lot of interviews with Peace Camp 2010 folks. And
A few. You cover it more than we do.
I do. I kind of get obsessed with it. Speaking of which, let's hear more from the evil child molester, Jason Shadow, and his situation with pregnant girlfriend.
Sex offender. We did that. Child molester is what the Sentinel said.
That's true. We don't know that he even is a child molester. He is a registered sex offender who missed a month of registration because he was fleeing a camping warrant in Paso Robles, according to his account.
If he's not a child molester, he has a very good lawsuit against the Sentinel for probably a considerable amount of money.
Right. And the Sentinel probably knows that, so maybe we can assume they're accurate. Well, wouldn't want to go that far, would we? Let's see what we got here.
But in other places she could sleep?
In other places you could sleep, but if they knew of the spots, they rousted us there. They told us to go outside of city limits, which is, if you're on foot, like we were, a considerable journey with as much gear as we had.
So did you get fined or jailed for these tickets that went to court?
No, we got fined. We got bench probation. She got probation and bench probation with search and seizure. The one camping ticket that we got for staying under Niblick Bridge was a $975 ticket.
Did you have to pay that? You pay that in cash?
They wanted us to, but we did not do so.
So you're not paying your dues, eh?
We're not paying our dues for camping.
You're not paying your doo-doos.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they actually expected you to pay a citation when you didn't have enough money to go into a hotel or motel?
Yes, they did. They expected us to pay the dues, the doo-doos, as you would put it, even though that we didn't have the money to pay for our own food. Since we couldn't fly a sign or panhandle anywhere, we couldn't have anywhere to eat unless we went to the churches, and we weren't allowed there because we had the dog.
Get over here and stay over here.
Wow. Here. I'm in Blanco's.
Yeah. So, and this is your pooch now. What's the name of this doggy?
Malenko.
Hey, Malenko. And what kind of a doggy is this?
He is a terrier of some type, and we're thinking maybe some kind of like dingo or Aussie mix.
A little black dog.
Yes, it is. He's about as big as he's going to ever get.
How old is he?
9 months. Hi, Malenkos.
So, where are you coming from? You've spent 6 months in Paso Robles.
We're coming from San Luis. We were going to be on the bus tomorrow. We had the bus tickets bought and paid for by the beautiful county of Santa Cruz and Dominican Hospital. Thanks.
I'm going to sit in the chair.
Bought and paid for tomorrow. We were supposed to go and meet Danielle Long from
the social
Emmeline.
Worker.
From Emmeline, yes. At 1:15 tomorrow. And get on our bus to Missouri.
Is that going to happen?
She's in jail.
And great. Great planning.
I'm not going to leave her here and go to Missouri without her. I mean, if she gets extradited to San Luis, that's my next point of adventure is going back to San Luis.
Now, were you here last night?
I was here last night, yes.
And that's right. That's when she got picked up because of the police raided at 3 or...
They decided that they wanted to come in the back. And that was at 5 o'clock this morning at the AM. And we were both sleeping. Pretty much everybody.
They rated it 5, not a 3.
Yeah, they rated it 5. And everybody, damn near everybody down here was asleep. But they missed a few people in the cuts. But thanks for that. But there was about 6 or 7 tickets handed out.
Five, according to Kerberger Chris. But did you actually?
I got a ticket, too.
And do you wish to give your name, since yours on the record? You don't have to, but they have the police have your name, so this could ruin your reputation among the upper class, you know.
Well, my name is Jason Moore.
Well, now you've done it. It's going to be no presidential run for you, Jason, once your record is known.
That is fine with me.
Criminal camper. Well, I don't even know if I should talk to you.
Well, that's what pretty much a lot of people are saying. But yeah. we're still standing steady, and they have ran us off.
Yeah.
Ticket after ticket, hour after hour of them coming out and harassing us, we're still here.
Just stubborn, aren't you?
We are. We are. Especially when they decide that they want us to sleep during the day and not at night.
Is that what they told you?
That's what they have told us. They have a no sleep, I guess, ordinance going out that you can't sleep from 11:30 to 9
They're
in the morning.
They're trying to train you for night work. You see, that's the point. That you sleep during the day and you get up at night.
I guess they're considering us a bunch of tweakers.
Or they could supply the meth, I suppose. It's been proposed.
They're mad because we're not buying what they're putting on the streets. So they're going to make us seem like we are buying what they're putting out there, but that's all right. We're still here.
And again, we've been talking with? Again, your name is?
My name is Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
We're in front of Marini's here at about 10:20 on Pacific Avenue, and a collection of questionable individuals playing, well, looks like trumpet, guitar, drum, and...
Oh, I'm just going to remain anonymous, but you know me.
Uh-huh. So, what you got for us?
Well, what we were thinking was many of our outcomes are really decided by us.
Where do I put my head?
And
where does my head go?
Many of our outcomes do to what we put in. So we can change our outcome by changing our input.
Yes. Okay. And anything specific about that? Like, that's pretty general. What are you referring to?
Well, sometimes we have the knowledge to make pretty good choices and to prevent certain things, and then there's the unknown zone. Mm. But when we have the opportunity to prevent, I think we should use it.
Your thoughts?
I have the opportunity to prevent, but the only thing that is holding me back is my lack of self-confidence.
Are you thinking of what specific concerns you have? What kind of behaviors are you trying to prevent?
Going to jail, alcoholism or drug addiction, or just any kind of dependency, codependency, or social dependency.
So you hold yourselves responsible for these issues rather than, let's say, a legal structure which makes it illegal to sleep outside if you're poor, let's say.
Being that I've been oppressed by this oppressive society, that I have learned to become very... my self-confidence has depleted, and I feel very inferior. And that is the only thing that is holding me back.
And your name is?
William.
And, of course, we have an anonymous individual here.
I'm still anonymous. But what I'm feeling in this society is that many a times we engage in these conducts of allowing certain behaviors to convince us to go along with the bad treatment that we get. And we really need to analyze ourselves and go, hey, I'm helping this hand whip me.
I'll have to think about that.
This is true as what he is saying. He is very credible as to the statement that he has just made.
Well, thank you both, and I better go home before I fall down.
And help me to not.
So we have a police car arriving here, and it is about 5 to 10 on August, the 16th. And people are laid out and having some sleeping during the day. We'll see if this police officer is here for any business or whether he's just parked. How you doing, officer?
Morning. How you doing?
Gallegos.
Gallegos.
You escorted me.
Okay.
So what can we do? What can I do for you? You can do.
Oh, nothing. We're just.
Are you joining? Are you joining the peace camp, perhaps?
I wish I could sleep. I'm kind of tired.
Yeah. Well, you know these folks are too. They got no legal shelters. So.
No, we're just walking through, doing extra checks. That's all we're doing.
Okay. Well, if you have any food and you want to bring it around, that would be great because
right.
they could use some. So.
You got it. Yeah.
Right. So, Officer Pendleton.
Hey.
Hey there. I don't know what to call you. Security guard.
Kevin.
Call you Kevin, but Kevin Stanley is the full name.
Kevin Stanley works too.
Right. And actually, just police officers walking through in order to. They're observing vehicle sleeping, but of course, after 8:30 in the morning, sleeping in Santa Cruz is not a crime. Just a disgrace. Let me go over and talk to one of these folks. I'm sorry, say that again for free radio.
I said, it looks like we're looking at the sleeping pattern of Animal Planet. How they sit on there and watch the animals and how they sleep and stuff like that. We feel like we're in a zoo and we're being displayed.
You're here, and we're talking with?
Jennifer.
And were you here last night, Jennifer?
Yes.
And were you here when the police came through and tried to ticket people?
Yeah, they came through like... every hour it was, so we couldn't sleep at all because they drive by, they stop their car, then they sit for a minute. We have to make sure we wake everybody else up. Then they sit there and drive off, and then we try to sit there and go back to sleep. They come by again, stop their car, and we had to do that all night long, so we barely got any sleep at all.
Well, they're training you. You see, they want you to use meth more frequently.
Is that?
A methadrine.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's an addictive drug that will keep you awake. Just
okay.
Kidding, of course. Their objective is to drive you away and make it uncomfortable for you to be here. How many times do we estimate they came by, if you were to actually remember the specific time?
It was about 9 times throughout the night. But they kept coming around and they dropped off some pamphlets. They wrote down our information, but they didn't give us no tickets. So I was like, that's kind of weird. Why would you write down the information for them? But we was already sitting up, though.
Yeah, you're not required to give information. If an officer comes up to you and says, I want information, you say, officer, are you making an arrest, or is this, am I free to go back to sleep? And if they say, well, we'd like to tell you, say, then you just go back to sleep. If they say,
you know. My dude asked if they were about to get a ticket. They said, no, we're not going to give you a ticket. And they didn't give us a ticket last night.
Say, thank you very much. Can I see your ID? No, I'd rather not. Please, I'll talk to you later, officer. I'm trying to get some sleep. You may have noticed it's 2 in the morning. Maybe you're working, but I'm sleeping.
Yeah, then there's some police that came by and stopped by, and all they did was take pictures. Like, they didn't give out no ticket or nothing. They just came by laughing and stuff and taking pictures. And I'm like, are they really allowed to legally do that?
If you're in a public place, anybody can take your picture. In fact, this guy's a photographer for Indy Bay. He's sort of a journalist who's sympathetic to these issues. But anybody can, you know, take your picture here in public or record you if you're not engaging in a private conversation. So,
in California, they're allowed to do that?
Yes.
Okay, because I know back home in Indiana, you're technically not allowed to take somebody's picture without a consent, or taking information without a person's consent to take that information off. Because I feel even though we're homeless, you know, I'm trying to apply for my SSI right now to get into housing, which is kind of hard because there's no shelter to go to or any place to go to where I can go to do that to get into a place that I need to go to. Because then I have my dude with me, and other than that, I'd be able to get into a place. But I'm trying to get on my SSI.
I see you've got a couple of suitcases with you, a couple of bags, a little pooch. What's the name of this pooch?
This is my friend's dog we're watching. His name's Malenko, and his girlfriend had got arrested. The guy's girlfriend got arrested yesterday, and she's sitting in jail for camping.
I think I remember. I think I talked to this guy last night. He's from Paso Robles, and he came up here, and they actually got a ticket to go out of town from the... Danielle Long, the social service worker, gave him a ticket, but they can't go out of town because she was picked up on a warrant for camping down in Paso Robles.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and so right now I'm watching their dog so that they can go try to take care of business, try to help get her out. Because she's pregnant right now, so she's trying to get back home to where she can get a family so she's not out here.
So how long have you been here now?
I've been about almost a month.
And how long have you been at the Peace Camp 2010?
About 2 weeks.
And how are they treating you here? How are women treated at the camp?
The camp's really good. It's not the camp that we have to worry about. We have a few nut cases every now and then, but you know, the camp's been very supportive and, you know, very loving. nothing. But the thing is, it's with the police officers and a lot of people that have comments and stuff and be like, oh, we'll get a job or stuff like that. But we try to ignore it. We don't feed any negativity.
Anything else you want to say to free radio folks out there?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
We've been talking with?
Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer. Sorry to wake you, guy. You want to say anything? Good enough. I'll let you guys get some sleep.
I'm counting about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 folks here, and I'm sleeping are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, counting 6 sleepers, 2 police officers, 1 photographer, 1 street radio reporter, and 1 security guard. And actually, there was another security guard across the street earlier, as well as a jackhammer person in the assembly.
What's interesting, of course, you hear the jackhammer in the background. This is Monday morning. People are trying to sleep because police came by, and according to Jennifer, although others say it was less frequent, but said that there were police were waking them up every hour, supposedly with helpful information about shelter services. And what they were giving out, I didn't actually see a copy of it, but the shelter service information actually accesses services that are full or have long waiting lists, and that is the kind of charade that goes on where the police, for the benefit of the media and for the benefit of any potential lawsuits, act like they're being helpful. But in fact, their main purpose is to drive people into the bushes or out of town. At least that seems to be the point here. And in response to being woken up all night, people are trying to sleep during the day. And that, of course, makes them look like lazy bums.
So being down unconstitutional and cruel, I am... What do you think, Bradley, photographer man, about this whole thing? If you want to be quoted, of course.
The cop said that he liked the sign that said, one big earthquake and you're all homeless, because he said it was true.
Suggesting perhaps that the other signs, sleeping is not a crime, for example, are not true. But maybe he just didn't want to be quoted on the record because he'll be later enforcing this bogus law, which might lay him open to legal liability if anybody ever had the legal juice to do it. Or maybe not, depending on what the courts say.
With a man behind the table here, which is right next to the entrance to City Hall, or the City Hall grounds, I should say. What's your name, sir?
Jason.
And Jason, we, Chris, had a conversation with you last night.
And this, again, is the man who is also, I believe, known as Mark Greer, and who is dubbed the infamous child molester. Actually, who knows what he was convicted of, but his only outstanding crime is failure to register for a sex offender registry, and also apparently, by his own account, some outstanding camping warrants.
Sleeplog. Why are you so sleeplog? Well, we had to have people staying awake so when the cops showed up, we can keep everybody else awake.
And I'm having a little trouble with this tape, so I'm going to try to switch it to a better, or it may be a better machine, but it may be a bad tape, just because the tape recorder was running out of juice at the time, perhaps, not to mention the loud jackhammering in the background, which has been replaced by Klieg lights for the last two nights for the Peace Camp 2010 Survival Marathon Sleepers.
We counted at least 7 times they came in to run people on foot. 3 times they came by.
Here's the mayor, by the way, if you want to say something to Mayor Mike Rutkin.
They came 3 times. 2 of them, this is small, slow cruise bys. The third time was a spotlight pass.
How do we make an appointment? Are you up for an appointment to meet?
And this is me shouting to Mike Rotkin to make an appointment with the Peace Camp 2010 folks. He agreed to do that. And, in fact, there is an appointment scheduled for August 20th, tomorrow morning, Friday at 10 a.m. on the grass in front of City Hall, in case you want to come down and listen to what the mayor has to say, listen to what the Peace Camp 2010 folks have to say. Again, 10 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, August 20th, on the grass in front of City Hall at 809 Center Street across from the main library. Back now to tape from Monday morning. I guess we're talking the 16th of August. at Peace Camp 2010. The previous night, there were no tickets issued, just these endless wake-up calls and wake-up harassment roustings, followed by, we have all this helpful information to give you about shelters that don't exist, or shelter space that doesn't exist and shelters that do exist.
What about in the next week? What, name a day, we'll do it. All right, thank you.
The third time they came by, Spotlight checked us, and then,
oh, what?
Sorry for them, they didn't get no tickets out last night.
So they came by three times?
Or? They came by ten at all.
How many
they
times?
Came by ten times.
Ten times? And you were awake, so you were counting
the
wake
the whole time, yes.
And what were the intervals between the police arrivals?
Anywhere between an hour to an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes.
And the first time they came by was about what time?
I would guess 11.
So it would be 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, if it were 10 times, probably have to be less than an hour.
That would have been the 11th time there, right there.
You actually have been counting?
Yes, we have.
And have you been, you know, is there sort of a contest? You're hoping maybe next...